Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the QS Cast. Joining me, QS writer, Chris Martin. Thank you for joining us yet again, Chris. It's always great to have you on the cast.
Hey, all. Yeah, thanks for having me, Chaz. Good to be back.
I think at this point you're pretty much an honorary co-host.
Yeah, I always say like good to be back and thanks and stuff. I'm like maybe I don't know. It's been good. I think this is like 4 out of 5 weeks, so maybe, or something like that.
You're pretty much anointed a honorary co-host at this point. So, congrats on that.
Do we have any like is it like game nights where they knight you and everything, or
bummer. Hey, it's been one hell of a week. It's been pretty good. Some more reactionary buying. A bunch of previews. There's definitely been reactionary buying, at least the past few sets that I remember. There's always like this one commander card that we've seen, but War of the Spark, it kind of feels like almost every viable like commander or something like that, it's like, oh, you know, let's just like buy out all this other stuff.
Yeah. Last week we talked about the slow roll of the previews, and I guess I kind of ate my words on that, because I thought it was going to drag out the hype, but it's, yeah, to your point, every card or every couple cards.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. It may still affect the actual War of the Spark in particular, like the cards in particular for War of the Spark. But I think what we kind of overlooked is them slow rolling all this stuff that folks are just trying to latch on to just anything, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's more of the reactionary buying rather than just the cards for War of the Spark themselves. So, it's great that like new cards, since they're released, like they get kind of hype. But then I have noticed kind of what we said, that the hype will definitely fizzle out very quickly because this is getting dragged out so much.
What I've noticed too is it seems like with the slow roll, it's giving, definitely giving speculators, giving us, you know, QS, we're getting an opportunity to really digest almost every card individually, which maybe that's, you know, from a secondary market standpoint, it's definitely been kind of beneficial when you look at the sales and correlation of sales to, you know, these cards being spoiled. It's been a good time to be a seller. It's been probably a good time to be a buyer too. There's a lot of hype around Magic in general. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I know you and I have even talked about it on the cast that you've been on. Tark and I have talked about it even before that too, that we're in for a wild ride. I mean, War of the Spark has its opportunities, but we are in for quite a bit of excitement.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning. And that hype and that excitement around Magic, and it's just going to keep on rolling, because we got Commander products, we got Modern Horizons, we got another core set, we just like have all this stuff.
Every format's getting love from here until the summer, so it's really exciting. Yeah. You can't go wrong. It's really interesting to think about what this, you know, from the spoilers we've seen, what the meta is going to look like in Standard. I mean, I don't really play Standard, but I follow, you know, and I like to watch the streams and stuff. And I feel like the pros are going to have their work cut out for them to figure out and kind of solve it this time. There's so many different cards that seem like they could be impactful.
Yeah. If anything, like, you know, here and there, there's like a one of in a sideboard, or they're like these interesting effects, especially on the Planeswalkers and how they're designed. But yeah, I mean, there's just a ton of stuff. And I was talking about this, before I get into it. So if you haven't noticed by now, the kind of theme of tonight's podcast is War of the Spark. And we have a lot of questions pertaining to War of the Spark. So that's kind of going to be our focus. Chris, I know you kind of wanted to bring up a couple things as well, but we will get to that. But back to what I was saying, you know, I was talking about right before we started recording that There's certainly an emphasis to design around Commander. I mean, it's very obvious at this point. Anyone who's played the game for a while kind of has already seen this. They certainly do that, and that's great. But do you feel like there's another set that just kind of that has like so much depth to it in terms of how this can continue to affect Commander, at least immediately, and in the future, because the last one, I mean, Ixalan felt like there was literally a treasure trove, no pun intended, of just all this like casual good stuff. Then there was Dominaria. Then there was like Ravnica. It did have a couple things. It was, I don't know, maybe you can talk more on that. I didn't feel like there was like as much, but there was definitely a couple notables. But I feel like, and I've said this before on those other sets like Ixalan, Dominaria, that this will also be a set that I'm anticipating to see some of these cards, especially in foil, continue to increase and gain over time. I'm not going to be at all surprised to see War of the Spark cards pop up in interests, especially, you know, a few years out. But even
I totally agree with you. If you look at like the, you mentioned them. I mean, if you just look at kind of the progression of the last figure four sets within the block, you know, the what's considered all standard eligible right now until rotation, you just touched on it. It's exactly right. Every single one of them seems to be more and more impactful to EDH, and to your point, also with EDH in mind, or has the lens there. I think you're right with both Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance. There was a little bit less in both of those, but actually, Ravnica Allegiance was very, I would say, very casual. The Guilds was probably a little less so. But even in those cases, you had some major, major players with like Niv-Mizzet and Taysa, and I mean, it's. I have not seen many uncommons, rares, or mythics yet. I don't know that I've seen any in War of the Spark, but I can't envision going into someone's EDH deck, you know, or you know, some strategy very consistently. So,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say your point about the foil multiplier is gonna probably be. Like, that's a very interesting prediction. I'm sure we'll see that pretty quickly. You know, I think you're right. I think that'll hold true that the multiplier is going to be pretty high.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to see in terms of even the uncommons, now, I get it. Not all of the uncommons, even the planeswalkers. Like, I get the fact that they're planeswalkers. They are going to have some appeal. But what I don't like is, you know, especially, I may not be as in tuned with just the general kind of multiplayer commander, this kind of umbrella. I did follow, you know, the more competitive one versus one commander kind of offshoot a little more closely. But, you know, I just don't like this like net umbrella that, oh, this is good for EDH and this is good for EDH. But like at the end of the day, you still have 99 cards and a good amount of them are lands. So like not everything's going to make the cut. I get that everything could be good in Commander, but even when you're building, I guess there's like a varying degree, a super casual or something like that, but you still want to play with powerful cards. So if you have to choose between like two cards that, you know, are doing something, you're probably going to tend to lean towards the better card overall. Like, you know, Edge, you know, I'm just looking at Ravnica Allegiance. It's just in front of me. Like, I'm just using this as an example, but like, as and raise Forerunners, like this 8-mana 7/7, you know, enters. It's just like another one of those crater hoof things. Like, how many crater hoof effects could you possibly play? Right?
It's interesting. It's actually funny you say that.
Like diminishing returns.
The it's funny because the point I was going to make, and I almost wonder if you're touching on it here, but you're right. Like, you have to make cuts. 99 cards. You figure you run 35, 40 lands, something like that. I mean, you're very pressed in EDH. And actually, it's a lot harder than it looks to build an EDH deck because there's so many cards you want to play and only so few slots you can play. But what's interesting is a lot of these cards, I'll use Enraze as an example. It does compare, you know, obviously it's kind of just like the budget version of Craterhoof. It's very good. It's very potent in the, you know, the swarm type decks. And I think the nice thing about a lot of these cards, they're creating consistency in EDH. So Wizards is, you know, opening up their design space a little bit, but they're printing cards that are similar or even, you know, maybe not the same, but they're comparable. And so in EDH, right, you're talking about, instead of only like your one win con is Craterhoof, now you've got two chances to hit it with maybe Enraze. And again, Enraze is definitely a budget version of it. It's not as good, right, but
I may have used a bad example, but I mean, I was just kind of like thinking about it. You have Craterhoof, you have the Eldrazi Boar from Eldritch Moon, you have this. So it's like, you have all these options. Just like we were kind of talking about, I brought up a card the other week. it was a green card that like fetches lands. Like how many like fetch lands cards could you possibly play?
There's so many of them.
You have to start making a cut.
We talked about far wandering.
That particular card may have been good, but it is in competition with a lot of other good stuff.
Right, definitely.
So, that's just kind of like my little rant on that. But you're right. I mean, there was definitely some notables. I was more thinking like I remember Vanifar really kind of generating a lot of hype, and I didn't really remember a lot of other stuff. I'm sure there was like a couple role players in there, but in terms of, you know, we're already past like almost the reactionary stuff. Well past, like I feel even both Ravnica's just with War of the Spark, like the two previous sets, just with the Spark. Now, obviously that has to do with all of these different planeswalkers and, you know, what role they'll play. You have these splashy mythics that we've seen even today. And yesterday with these, the returning of the, Amonkhet gods, but you know, Feather and all this other stuff. So I feel like we're already well past like this super kind of ADH impact.
Way I've kind of evaluated sets for EDH is I think there's just obviously two lenses, right? Does it make the cut? Is it going to be good in the 99? Sure. Or, you know, obviously if it's a legend, is it going to create its own archetype? Is it going to create a build around? Right. Is it a build around card? I think you're spot on. I mean, if you go back to Ixalan again, you just kind of work your way up through all those sets to current state. Every single one of those sets has put out at least one commander that people wanted to go out and build around. And in the case of War of the Spark, I mean, we're probably right around halfway through spoilers, I would think, at this point, give or take.
We are currently 189 cards.
Okay, so a little bit more than a half, but yeah. You know, you've got Feather, so you've got that's basically the Taysa or the Niv or, you know, Zakama, Gisheth from the other Ixalan sets, etc. Yep. Where you've got like that one premier, you know, I really do think Feather hype is right now it's hype, but I think it's going to be warranted and sustainable. You're talking about a card that's giving a color pairing that historically in EDH has been almost unplayable, not unplayable entirely, but
yeah.
Giving them some real like resilience now and draw power and things like that. So, or not draw power, but card advantage.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess
just
my point is
a different way to play it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the ability is super cool, right? It's and to your point, it kind of makes like a interesting strategy where targeting your own creatures is a thing. But I guess my point there is like you've already got your feather being the like archetype defining, gonna build around it. It just created its own thing for EDH. So you've got that, which checks all the boxes of all these sets. And then you've got all these other sort of role players. Bantu is just spoiled. Was that today or yesterday? It feels like I can't even keep it all straight. But Bantu is a great example of a card that I think is gonna be really good in a lot of strategies in the 99. I don't know if people will build around him as a commander per se very often, but you plug him in into some of the 99s, he fits a lot of different strategies. So anyway, yeah, the EDH hype, the design, back to your original point, it's totally designed. They're doing an amazing job balancing the designs for standard, but also contemplating EDH along the way, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. So we have seen a lot of that. And just like a quick comment too, you know, there's a lot of awesome discussion. And you know, whenever something like you may find, I mean, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn here, but I am, you know, certainly humble, when it comes to if I don't know about, you know, well, I'll just take Feather as a good example because, you know, some people like to almost, I don't want folks to think like my direction or, you know, when I interject, it's like hating or trying to like downplay something. I just like to try to steer the direction of a very good conversation to kind of be more focused, right? Like when one of these commanders are really hyped, it's super easy to kind of go down the list of like all of these crazy cards. And we just know for a fact that not all of those cards are going to increase or they're not going to increase enough to warrant them to be actual legitimate considerations in terms of something that we should buy into. So that's just kind of where I come from. I know it can come off as like, you know, is this really, like, I just feel like I need to ask the question. So first off, like quell the complete bedlam that's going on. I get it that, you know, as I read through the conversations, admittedly don't, I really did dismiss like Boros. I don't like, it's so boring, but you're right. Like Feather was a completely different offshoot of Boros, a completely different commander that's fresh and new. And it's like its own commander in those colors that we haven't seen before. So it, not that it was a high bar to jump over, but Feather like almost immediately became like the best Boros commander overnight, because every other one is just very dry, and they all pretty much do the same thing. It's just very like combat oriented. Feather was a very refreshing commander in terms of you can take this color pair, which I still feel is pretty boring, but that's just me. But I mean, there's a completely new spin on it, so I get that. But when you're just throwing out like all of this, I mean, we could literally go through like any decent Boros card that like can go into this deck. Not all of them are going to increase. Some did, obviously, and I put my money where my mouth was. I was convinced with some of the conversations that were going on. I purchased a couple foil Aurelia's Fury. Folks were, you know, diving into that. It was kind of hard, admittedly, to kind of really look at Aurelia's Fury and say, am I really buying this card, when it was one of like,
yeah,
one of the single worst blunders of like, financial, one of the like worst finance blunders in terms of an overhyped card that was like pre-selling for $20 and then ended up as bulk. But I digress. But you know, I can certainly be, you know, accept a good argument and turn around and say, okay, you know, I think I want to get in on this too. I'm not one that will continue to like double down, triple down, dig in my heels, like even though when I feel there's a good argument, and I even may be wrong on a certain subject. I would like to think that people know me by now that I don't really do that. A lot of the same can't be said for a lot of the different folks that are kind of in this overall kind of community. Appreciate you, Discord, on that one.
One thing I was going to, you know, you mentioned it. It's funny because when Feather was, I actually had a very busy work week and Feather was spoiled. I think it was on Monday. And I came back onto the discard. You know, I check it, like, usually I check it on the train on my way into work or whatever. And it's like no unread messages by the time I shut it off. And then I came back maybe 2 hours later. And I think there was, it glitched out because there were so many unread messages. It like just stopped telling me how many there were.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess my point there was the hype internally, you know, what we're doing in the QS Insider Discord is we have a lot of really, really smart and in tune folks to the finance scene. So
yeah,
what's really cool is when you see, while there is like, it's just a whirlwind of
even the folks that have been, yeah. And like, even the folks and, you know, obviously, there's new folks coming in, but you know, even the folks that have been here a while, and I'm sure even new folks can obviously have their good taste. But I've definitely seen like over time, like everyone got really good at evaluating cards.
Yeah, there's been an awesome amount of chatter. I mean, it is sometimes hard to decipher, but I think when I look back on when Taysa was spelled, the exact same thing happened. And the cool thing is, you know, we've been able to you did it with Feather this time in Actionable, where, you know, we're getting, there's folks out here kind of just brewing and throwing out names, and we dissect that from figure 20 names, let's just say, to down to 4. And both times that's happened now, Feather and Taysa, we've, as a community, identified, I would say, like the top, I'll just say top 5. I don't know what the number is. Maybe it's more or less, but percent returns on those commanders basically overnight. I mean, it's happened almost instantaneously. People are able to go out and buy while everyone else is, you know, maybe still even dissecting it. And so I think that's just really impressive. I mean, that's just kudos to the whole community here that we have some awesome people willing to share a lot of great information and knowledge and stuff.
Yeah. And it is great. And I don't try to stifle it at all, but you know, I just from me to you all, like, don't kind of view that as me hating or something like that. I just try to like steer the conversation or maybe give my take, like, this is a lot of stuff, folks. Like, okay, so like, what's actually good? You know, what can we parse? Can we parse this down? Like, it just kind of feels like not all of this stuff is going to increase. So let's like parse this down. I like the Aurelia's Fury. I didn't buy into a couple of the other things, but I know if folks, Discord's really looking out for each other on a few of the other cards.
I would just add to that too, be cognizant, you know, now that there's all these sales tax ads all over the place, you know, missing on cards is always painful. You never want to miss on a card and be stuck with it and end up taking loss. But with sales tax, we really do have to have a laser focus at this point, in my opinion. You know, I'm also maybe a little biased because Chicago, it's where I'm at, is like 10% sales tax, so it's kind of outrageous. But if you miss with that sales tax, you know, factored in, baked in, or whatever, and you're, especially if you're in some of these states that charge really high percents,
yeah,
it hurts. It hurts. So, you know, that's just one thing to think about too. I've actually been a little more, I was definitely in the camp where I would put my money in a lot of different, you know, a lot of eggs in different baskets.
Yeah. Basket it. Yeah.
Right. Right. And like, even
I definitely don't do that as much anymore too, especially because like you said, I mean, you just keep getting, you get burned like that. Especially now, where something may feel like, oh, you know, it's so cheap, but that tax really adds up.
It does, yeah. I mean, I did that even with Taysa, and I actually was very, you know, Taysa was a great commander for me. I don't know that I had a single miss, and I think a lot of that was attributed to the Discord. Yeah. You know, we covered almost everything that moved, I think, in some capacity. But that being said, I with Feather, I was actually very, very conservative. I only went after, you mentioned Aurelius Fury. I went after Mirrorwing Dragon as well. And that's it. It was those two. Oh, and I take that back. I also went after Temple of Triumph, the Boros Skyland. I was going to mention that one on here. I kind of threw that one into general finance. Yeah. I was going to mention on here as well. Just those foils are very cheap still. So keep an eye out for those if you see them around maybe $3. I paid $3.50 for the Near Mint. And I think it was like $2.79. Nice. It was off of the Card Kingdom. But yeah, keep an eye on those. Boros lands will see some bump from this. I looked at my data point there, by the way, just a quick aside, was with Taysa. And Taysa Orzhov related lands saw a boost with her hype. So anyway, keep an eye on those.
Interesting. Yeah, the Skyland, I like that a lot.
The Skylands are particularly good. So.
Is there a Battle Bond land for red white?
There is not. I think that color pairing. Damn. Yeah, I think that color pairing
got
left off. Yeah. So.
Well, that sucks.
Always get the enemy and ally.
I do like that one a lot. I like that a lot. Even non foils are what, a buck?
Yeah, non foils are super cheap, and I believe they have a single print. I double check me on that.
They do. Yeah.
I'm pretty positive they do. From, I think it's Born of the Gods or something like that. Yeah. Or no, it's Theros.
Mimmo actually had a really good point though. And we may see this. You're right. And this is kind of going back to what you said a few minutes ago about the sustainability of the Feather, like Feather, continuing to these cards holding their price, you know, at least somewhat, at least a little bit better than just some of the stuff that gets hyped and then just fizzles out.
Like a higher floor or something.
Right. Yeah. There were definitely maintain a higher floor with Feather, but Mimmo, it does have a great point. Once, you know, it's out there and folks are building it, you know, any which way, we may see kind of like a second interest, like kind of wave of buying.
I totally agree with that. I mentioned that along with the Super Friends as well. I think we've talked about Super Friends. I'm not going to go down the path of Super Friends.
No, yeah.
But just, you know,
Super along Friend
the we've talked about it plenty, but just the quick plug is I mentioned on General Finance a couple of days ago is just basically if you're still holding any of those specs, don't feel like rushed to sell those because the Atraxa, that pop in Atraxa's price point is real. There's people out there brewing a ton of Atraxa decks right now, and so they don't know exactly what they need, and so staples like Doubling Season, Chain Veil, so on and so forth, those all still have room to run as these cards from War of the Spark come out and they actually sleeve up the deck. So, yeah, along the same lines as Feather, Taysa, Niv before that, they kept pushing new cards as people realized exactly what the optimal builds were that they liked. So, anyway, just that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's been a whirlwind. I wanted to kind of touch on that. Discord always looking out. Appreciate y'all. You know, it's just really great, like how quick the discussion can lead to some seriously action, and some very real consideration in terms of to buy. I did want to kind of, I would like to give you at least a little bit of time to bring up some of the points that you wanted to talk about this week. We'll very quickly go through some of the questions from the insiders that I think will also doubly kind of serve as our evaluation of everything we've kind of seen since last cast. So appreciate the questions. I think that will be great. So at least for now, let's kind of very quickly go through. I know you talked about Bantu might be better than 99 versus Feather. Feather will likely have its own deck. That's very much true. The difference between the legends that are good in the 99 versus being a commander. Specifically for War of the Spark, I'd like you to kind of expand on that.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it was just a topic I thought, you know, I hear when we're in general finance, I see and hear from folks both in, you know, the general finance and in DM asking about like implications within EDH when cards have been printed. And I actually, one of the examples was you tagged me on Nissa's Triumph. It started getting me to think about this, like the impact of cards that are going to go in the 99, but do those have some sort of reach to start, you know, getting other focused cards correlated to that, right? To bump those cards. Because obviously Feather is going to bump a bunch of stuff because a lot of people are going to be building decks around Feather. But the difference of being in the 99, I guess the way I approach this is I don't think there's enough meaningful traction created, unless obviously it creates some type of like win con with another card. I don't personally chase new cards going into the 99 very much at all, unless it creates that win con. And I'll give the example of something like an Intruder Alarm with Vanifer, or Vanifar, sorry. The way I kind of look at any card that has synergy like that in the 99, so let's use Bantu as an example. Bantu is going to fit in a ton of strategies. Maldratha, Yitrog Monster, I mean, there's like a bunch of different zombies also is another huge one. And so the way to kind of look at something like that is just monitor those strategies, right? So like is Bantu going to be strong enough to make people want to play zombies more often? And I personally actually think with all the zombies that have been put in this, I'm kind of digressing into a very specific point here, but I actually think zombies is something that's getting a lot of support in this set. And I think Bantu combined with other zombies that have been printed is going to drive interest in some of the zombie commanders that are out there, Verena and I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that I'm blanking on right now. But point being, when you see these cards that start creating support for those type of strategies, those cards themselves being the 99, it can definitely make those strategies pop back up, and it's worth monitoring them, in my opinion. Yeah, Papu just said Bantu and World Shaper and Gitrog, 100%. World Shapers in Gitrog for sure. Even Lord Windgrace as well. World Shapers in those decks already. Bantu goes right into those. So yeah, I think someone mentioned World Shaper and Bantu, and that's a great example of that, like a one card pairing where World Shaper is probably a decent target now. It's definitely a card worth monitoring.
Yeah. So that being said, if you were to look at what we've seen now, is there something that you can kind of immediately look at and say, this will likely be included in deck lists going forward? Any kind of, you know, if any deck is running X color, this could be part of that, no, like, going forward, what the kind of deck list is, what the theme is.
One card that jumps out to me, and maybe it would...
You might want to disconnect and reconnect, Chris. That literally happens to you like every half hour. It's crazy. Yeah, the 30-minute robot. Yeah, I'll let Chris kind of get back into the swing of things here, but it was a very good question, and I like to tag Chris on those types of things. I mean, like I said, I kind of felt like I gave a pretty good take. I'm pretty, you know, I feel like I know well enough, but it's always like it's good to kind of crowdsource. Maybe as important as good overrated war card. Yeah, definitely we'll get to that too. But I agree. I mean, when, especially what Chris said, when it does feel like there's new tech, it may feel like grabbing the new cards is the best way to go. But it's, you know, especially when I brought it up to discuss in the other channels, it's why I brought up the existing cards already. Chris, you back or?
I think so.
Okay. I wanted to let you finish your point.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not sure.
I'll pose this question. So if you could quickly run through, like, from what we've seen so far, now I know it's like kind of, I don't know if you've kind of looked very extensively or if I'm putting you on the spot here. is there, you know, to what you were just saying, you know, and what I brought up, like, for example, the Nissa stuff, is there, you know, these cars that you can immediately kind of identify, you know, is Nissa's Triumph with X amount of Nissas, you know, is that good enough to see play in most green decks? Or, you know, is there a card that you could say, you know, in this set that's something that can be included in these kind of evergreen decks as long as they're using this color?
Yeah, I think zombies for sure is like good zombie cards are going to be in demand for EDH. That would be my number one point out. I'm actually one of the cards I was going to list as a card to consider is a zombie, or is related. And then the other one that I would also
I already know what it is. It's kind of crazy because I was thinking of the same thing for this week.
Do you want to get? Do you think you got it?
I know what it is. I know what it is.
I'm curious to see if you know it. All right.
I'll say this. I've been beating the drum for that set for quite some time. Is it part of? It's part of that set. For
sure. Are you thinking Commander 18?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's from Amonkhet.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Okay, the card is Liliana, Death's Majesty. Sorry. But
fair enough.
Yeah, so I do think zombies are going to be huge. I think that's going to be a resurging EDH, you know, tribal focus with all the support it's getting here. And then the other one that's just very specific, but it's Neheb, the Eternal. Also, that one's from Hour of Devastation. That one's seen a climb lately. And it is a zombie. It's also a warrior for Najeela. It's also a Minotaur. But the fact that Neheb got reprinted again, or not reprinted, I'm sorry, got like a new printing again, I think that could make his whole legacy kind of interesting to look at. So
interesting.
Yeah. If you look at that one on interest, Neheb the Eternal, it particularly foils too. They've been kind of climbing. I actually think the non-foils might have some, you know, some upside. The multiplier there is like a 3-1. So anyway, that one's just one to consider.
Fair. We will rediscuss that card, the kind of decisions, but yeah. So zombies. Okay. Did you feel, I don't know if you answered the question fully, and I'm sorry, I was just trying to pull up some tabs. Did you feel the Nissa package was good enough? I know you kind of, we brought up a couple of the existing Nissas. Okay.
Yeah, I think, I mean, well, there's some of the Nissas that are out there are already being played in a ton of EDH decks today.
Yeah, Voice of Zendikar.
Exactly.
And, what was the other one?
Vital Force. You figure like two green just to be able to go get two lands. I think Nissa's Triumph will make its way into the landfall strategies like Omnath, Gitrog, Windgrace for sure.
Mm-hmm. There also was Steward of Elements. I know you were bringing up the there was a the hieroglyphic version. Okay, I don't know if did we lose you, Chris?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn. Okay. Trying to get Chris back. So I'll just quickly get to, I'll let Chris kind of figure out the connection issue. I'll quickly get to, that was all kind of really Chris wanted to bring up in terms of the points. I will address the questions so far for this week. It'll kind of doubly serve as our evaluations for things that we've seen from last week. Let me see. What is your pick for most underrated card spoiled so far? So, underrated as in it's underpriced. I kind of feel like I always like to consider, especially when Top Level Podcast reveals a card or previews a card, they normally know what they're talking about. Now, I understand everyone's in the business of hyping cards, but I don't ever really get that sense from them. And they normally do talk about the cards that are impactful. Chandra Fire Artisan almost kind of feels like it's being like flying under the radar. Although there are instances where I feel like you know, in the decks that you may want to play it in, it can be just straight up ignored, and I don't really like that. So I don't know. I don't know if really any card is. I don't feel like any card is underrated so far. That's weird to say.
The one I really like, Chaz, is Vivian, Champion of the Wilds. It pairs so well. Yeah. It pairs so well with Wilderness Reclamation, where you can cast your creatures with Flash. I think that's, I don't know, the synergy there is very clear. And that one's just kind of been quietly, you know, it got spoiled. It's only 3 mana to cast it too. So.
Yeah, I kind of really like the interesting dynamic. I mean, you don't have to convince me a green card is good, but trying to stay biased as possible. I mean, it really is something to kind of add that dynamic to a mid-range or even an aggressive deck that you can now pair this card with so many of the like top-end creatures that we were seeing. The Razbor, Ilharg, even some of the god cards, you look at God Eternal, Rona, stuff like that. Like it really does give a completely different dynamic to those sets.
Yep. The other one
to those decks, rather, to those archetypes.
The other one that is actually, I even like it in the price range that it's at now too. But the other one, I think you mentioned this one last week, is Sorin, Vengeful Bloodlord. That one's got some serious potential. Looks like it's almost down to $3.
Yeah, I like it at that price too. Now, the thing is with Sorin, I don't know if this card will ever really be a bona fide 4 of, but like lifelink, especially to just even the planeswalkers and creatures, it's like throughout the whole game, like that is just feels really swingy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and it could be a 4 of only, I mean, I'm totally speculating here, but it could become a 4 of simply because you can actually minus exit. You could,
rip it, right?
Right, grab a creature back. If you're looking at some type of an aggro list or aristocrats list specifically, that's kind of what I was thinking. But you can minus it and then cast another one and get a creature, you know, out of the one that's on your field, and then now you're back to square one. So
yeah, it also threatens a lot of the other, much like the Vraska Golgari Queen. It threatens a lot of the other rare planeswalkers to not just immediately minus, because a lot of them would die.
Right, because of that one damage.
Yeah, a lot of them would get destroyed by Sorin with the ping. So yep. That's a really cool kind of check for all of those other rare level planeswalkers. Looking at even Teferi. So if you were to just like, if Teferi, you know, you're trying to like protect Teferi and you had to bounce something, you could just like rip Sorin the next turn, ping it off.
Right.
And now you have a Sorin at like 6 loyalty. So now you can even like, you can grab a Bantu, something else along those lines. Now that it's ticked up, you can grab like a 5 converted mana cost creature and it would still survive.
Right, yeah.
Not Bantu. But yeah, I like those. Getting to the other questions. Boar will be back at $10 2 weeks after release. Yes or no?
I'm going to say yes, personally.
Okay. I think I so know. As well. As powerful as it is, I posed this question even for deck building. Red-green is definitely going to be a thing. It's a thing now. You look at GP, Kyoto. You look at even like SEG, Clarksville. There was a lot of like 6-0. You look at the Arena Super Cup qualifier. The red-green is definitely a thing already. And it just feels like there's a ton of stuff to even make it better. But there's a lot of deck building decisions to make. Like, is the boar, and even to a lesser extent, the green Ronas 2.0, straight up just better than a Skarg and Hellkite at this point, right? Like, they're all vying for spots.
Right. Yeah, so the curve is very congested.
It is. To that end, I do feel like there's something from that deck that's underpriced now that will get better. And I felt like War of the Spark Domri would end up being better. But I think, you know, we've been talking about this, especially in the Discord too, and it seems like it's getting a little more buzz. But at the very least, it feels like I can break even on Ravnica Allegiance Domri, because I overpaid for those. So at least if I can break even, I'm good now. But they seem like a good buy at like $3. I think that's about where they are right now.
Yeah. And that's been talked about a few times, I think, in general finance. I think that's an interesting target. It's got the cool part about it now is it actually has a lot of meaningful creatures that you would want to cast off of it. So the whole idea of going like turn one, Land of War, turn two, I don't know what you fill the turn two with, but, you know, then turn three, you're looking at Domri into something else potentially pretty big on turn four. So
yeah. Or, you know, there's certainly deck building around a card that even you liked, the Gore Claw.
Yeah, I've always liked...
That's another way to kind of look at it.
I don't know if that one... Yeah, that's interesting. You know, that one's been on my radar. I did pretty well on that with just EDH demand. I was picking up foils of that at like $1.50 and turning around almost at $5. Your call out on that was really, really good because, I mean, I don't know if it's standard playable or not, but it pairs very well with the new Ronas. So,
questions, trying to get.
I'll throw one other underrated card out there just looking through this. Kiora at Uncommon is 48 cents, and it's the one where whenever a creature power 4 or greater enters the battlefield, draw a card, untap target permanent. Let that go down to bulk pricing. Look for foils, though. That is going to be an EDH gem.
I feel like the foils, like the multiplier on those are going to be so wonky.
It's going
to
be crazy.
There's going to be like 15, like 10. I'm just throwing out a number. I don't know if it'll actually get to that, but like $8 to $10 and then like literal bulk.
Totally agree.
The uncommons.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the same ability. Well, not quite. Elemental Bond from Magic Origins was 3 or greater draw a card, and that card at uncommon has had a reprint. I think it still holds about $1. And the fact that this thing has a 7 loyalty and you can untap a permanent with it, I mean, it's just that is going to be EDH gold right there. Definitely keep an eye out for cheap foils. And I frankly like the bulk pricing on the uncommon longer term too. I think that'll be a good buy list play. So
yeah. What are the cards do you think have legs for eternal formats? Karn?
The one that I like the most is the 2/3 flyer for 2. It's a human. I think it's like Tavrik or something like that. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, yeah. The land, I'll get the name.
Yeah, it's the one that basically protects lands in your graveyard and mm-hmm. I think that's got a lot of potential for Legacy. Definitely Modern as like maybe a sideboard card for humans. I think that was interesting that it was included as a human. So it's Tomic, T-O-M-I-K, Distinguished Advocate. 2/3 flying lands on the battlefield and land cards in graveyards can't be the target of spells or abilities your opponents control. Your opponents can't play land cards from graveyards. It shuts down a lot of interesting strategies that are, you know, prevalent in Modern and obviously Legacy. I mean, it shuts down Wasteland, it shuts down Field of Ruin, things that target your lands. So I don't know. I think that one's got some potential for eternal playability beyond EDH for sure.
You know, the more like they kind of released Bantu earlier in the day, and I think it's getting overshadowed by Razbor. All the gods, like I think they're all going to have their roles, but I feel like this is definitely the better iteration, like I said before, of the god. And the more I look at it, the more like these like sneaky value plays it has. You know, at the very least, it's like bare minimum worst, it's a 5-mana 5/6 menace, and you could just like sack a land for a card,
right?
So at the very least, it replaces itself.
Yep.
Now, obviously, it can get countered. But then you don't lose anything. But, you know, we talked about World Shaper, but if you wanted to go like Grixis or even just straight up, what is it? The red, black Rakdos, you know, you can have like Mayhem Devil out from War of the Spark and Uncommon and just like randomly just like ate them out of nowhere. Like
right.
To kind of finish them off.
Totally.
You know, you're getting your beats in, you're getting your beats in, and then just like all in them at the very end with Bantu.
Yeah, I don't know if the world...
you can sack Bantu as well. So you could like almost like Psychotog beat them, like blow them out.
Yeah, I mean, well, does it make the... There's also enough aristocrats support now, potentially, right? Because there was another... Wasn't there a... There was... I don't know. I don't remember the name of the card, but I'm pretty sure in the spoilers, we've got another one. It was basically Blood Artist Senior or Junior. It was better. I think it was better than Blood Artist. So that's another possibility here is could you go wide and then use Bantu as a way to refill your hand and kind of get the value play, but you're still dealing damage as you do it.
The original Bantu just looks so good, but it just took too much to like get it online. It was like a lot of usability. This is just like instantaneous. You get the value immediately. At the very worst, it replaces itself by drawing a card. I do like Bantu a lot.
Yeah, no, I do too.
It's a shame Ronas sucks.
It is, yeah.
But
a bulk mythic, most likely.
No, don't say it.
Sorry, I know.
we're getting towards the end here. So cars to consider this week. Let's just wrap this up. Let's go through it again. I'm going to go through mine really quickly. Hopefully we touched on all of the questions. I think those were really good questions. Just to kind of get through this though. So for considerations this week to actually go off the zombie thing, I've been beating this drum. I don't remember seeing this on the actual spreadsheet, Guillaume. So if I have, like, just blow me up about it. But I'm going Verena Lich Queen. I think it's the only Esper zombie legend, and it hits all of those colors.
Definitely.
Love the card.
Love it. I like that a lot.
It's $1 or less. Now, be careful, because I think these are foiled. So you want I would pay, like, even a little bit extra on the dollar to get these from a reputable place that is not going to, you know, you're going to order near mint and they show up all, you know, messed up. So, you know, while the TCG listings are, you know, can obviously look very lucrative at like 70 cents shipped, you really don't know. I mean, near mint, especially on TCG players, like an actual.
Yeah, I really like Channel Fireball. I've been growing. I think their grading is just unbelievably generous and really good. So I don't know if they have them available or not, but I like that call quite a bit.
What are they on channel?
I'm trying to find them. Usually a card like that will be like 99 cents, but then they have the 99 cent shipping, so you just buy them on their website.
And then you use while
you're looking. Well, you're looking that up. I'll just re-mention it because it's in the same tone. Is I'm all over Liliana Death's Majesty from Amonkhet. I think it's a card probably poised to see a lot of increase in interest for EDH for sure. And heck, I don't even know if casuals love playing zombies. So I mean, it's a card that I think just has kind of a long term floor that's going to be really good unless it gets reprinted, of course. The foils are hovering. Looks like lightly played hovers around about $12, and then it, you know, kind of jumps from there. There's only four pages of foils. The non-foils are possibly even a better play here, given that it's a mythic. You can get those around $5, a little over $5 shipped. So yeah. Anyway, I'm really liking Liliana Death's Majesty.
Whoa! When did Channel's shipping get so crazy? It's like $4.
Oh, I don't know. That must be really new, recent, because
it's like $3.50.
Usually it's 99 cents.
Do you have to order a certain amount?
If you order over $25 in singles on their website, they give you free shipping, I'm pretty sure.
Damn. It's $3.49. I think that was a promotion, the 99 cents.
The 99 cents that I usually see, I was talking on TCG Player. I don't know. I'll be honest, I almost always just order over $25 when I order from them and I get the free. So I didn't even know how much it was, but yeah, it sounds right then if it's $3.50. That's pretty consistent. That's what I think. That's right around ABU and Card Kingdom as well.
How is ABU on or channel on foils?
I personally think that I actually think ABU and Channel are probably my two favorites in
ABU
terms of
is really good on foils. They're,
yeah, both of them are just fantastic. Quick shout out to
yeah, definitely a shout out, and to Christopher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Verena, and then it's going to be Domri Chaosbringer
from
Ravnica Allegiance. Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, I'm really just looking at Liliana Death's Majesty this week. That's the one notable card. I went out and picked up some copies of it yesterday when Bantu was spoiled, and so you know, I paid about $5.50 near mint. It was $5.49. So
yeah,
I went with non foils. Foils, actually, I'm not sure which is the better play. I like them both right now. I think zombies are getting a lot of attention. So
awesome. All right, Chris, I think we went through everything we wanted to talk about. Really good wrap-up of kind of everything that went on throughout the week, including, you know, some of the cards that we were looking at. Great considerations for this week. Really quickly, too, but do we still feel very strongly on the Nissa package stuff? I know you brought up, like, the hieroglyphic version of Nissa.
Yeah, I love the SDCC.
What is that actually sitting at right now?
It's between 25 and 30. Last I saw when I looked at it, that was figured 2 days ago. I really like, I have copies of it and they're absolutely just stunning, you know, in terms of the art and the way that the foiling works. It's Nissa Stewart of Elements and the SDCC 2017 exclusive. So there's not the thing about it that I really like is that there's not many of them out there. It looks like there's a few copies of 26 to 27 on TCG, and then it ramps up. Direct is $29.99. So there's about three pages of foils total, but the foils themselves kind of the price on them scales pretty quickly from like mid to upper 20s into the mid to upper 30s. There's not really anything in between. So, and Phil Allen and I both, we in full disclosure, we both have cards or both have copies listed out there, and I would just say that both of us in general finance, we were talking about it. We both kind of felt like this is a card that it's already played in EDH, but we both felt like it could see modern play. I mean, it's a really good card. It's kind of like an Aether Vial when it's online in a creature heavy deck. So
awesome. All right, folks, that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Should be right around the mark of what we like to be at. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you for the questions. Hopefully this has been a great cast, very informative. Chris, thanks so much for giving you your time again.
Yeah, thanks, Jazz. I'll see if I can figure out why Discord shuts me down at 3:30. I'm going to go do some research after this call.
Yeah, so please do.
Yeah. I don't know why.
You can't be an honorary co-host and have your stuff like crapping out at 30 minutes every week.
Every 30 minutes, too. So, anyway, thanks, guys.
Have a great night. Everyone, thanks for joining in. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Take care.